I'm Don.
And I'm Kate.
And welcome to Because Reasons,
a multimedia redemption podcast
where we take your beloved guilty pleasures in movies, books, and more
and decide whether or not
they're worthless trash.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to Because Reasons, your multimedia redemption podcast. I'm Kate, and I'm not quite sure where Don is today. I think he's going to be joining us.
Hello, Catherine. I am the Goblin King.
I didn't summon you.
I'm just here to steal your podcast. I have stolen your co-host away. You must away with me to come find him in my puzzle thing.
Which, for copyright reasons, we can't call something else that starts with an L.
Does it rhyme with gabbering?
It might, but for copyright reasons, we cannot say what it might be called.
Wait, so how long are you planning on keeping Don? Because if it's just for an afternoon, I mean, I would like some time alone with his espresso machine.
But
so if you could bring him back in, like, let's say 5 hours.
Okay, but he started singing?
Oh, so you want me to get rid of him for you?
So he started singing and doing impressions.
So, listeners, apparently he's stealing the Goblin King's thunder. So I think it's up to us to go get him back.
So today, listeners, I, the Goblin King, from the non-copyright protected Gabyrinth, will be joining Kate to review the 80s classic Labyrinth with the god of glam rock, David Bowie.
Oh, and all that glitter. It's so good. It's
Kate,
so good.
Catherine.
Yes.
What are the reasons that we will be discussing?
All right, we actually had a few people suggest this one. And holy cow, the moment we even mentioned to people that we were planning on reviewing this, the listeners that just kept crawling out of the word group going, Labyrinth, I love it, I love it, you have to review it, I love it so much. So apparently this is a really popular one. The main three reasons that we got were the acting, that all of the actors who were chosen, especially Jennifer Connelly for her, you know, sort of debut
role. I want
role.
To steal her away. Something about her makes me want to steal her.
Except she's under 18 in this movie.
That's fine. I'd like to steal her and go shopping. Maybe get some Chipotle.
I'm sorry, but just the image of you in Chipotle with that glitter everywhere, that cannot be FDA approved.
Maybe go walk at IKEA.
Okay, this is starting to sound like a date between me and Don.
Get some Chipotle and go to IKEA.
Yes. I think Don is having a negative effect on you. But supposedly, all of the acting is top-notch. The characters they chose were, you know, just perfect for their roles. They really created this universe where you felt like everything was very real, that these are actual characters and not just people playing a part. Also the music. We had a lot of people talking about how incredible it was. The music was great. Every song was super memorable, very quotable. And the physical effects, which just everyone has said is this top-notch. You know, it feels like they're interacting with real characters and not just, you know, a guy standing behind the scenes doing puppet work.
So, Catherine, let us away to the Gabyrinth. And if you could please take Don back with you, that would be great.
TriStar Pictures announces the collaboration of three extraordinary talents. Jim Henson, creator of The Muppets and Dark Crystal.
Where you go with a head like that?
George Lucas, creator of the Star Wars saga. And one of the most innovative forces in modern entertainment, David Bowie. Together, they will take you into a dazzling world of fantasy and adventure.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
A world where anything seems possible, and nothing is what it seems.
Everything I've done for you. I move the stars for no one.
Yeah.
Run so hard, run
Labyrinth.
All right, listeners, we're back. I have gone to the Gabyrinth. I found Don and have returned him safely to the land of the humans.
Hey, guys. Hey, it's Don. I'm back.
It was just in time because it was really getting obnoxious over there with the nonstop karaoke.
All of the karaoke. We had those early 2000s divas just kind of on repeat. It was me.
Yes, but I don't think our non-copyrighted Goblin King is going to forgive you for teaching his goblins the dance to Single Ladies. We had to bring him back. He was doing just irreparable damage over there.
It
lost all ability to scare children.
I liked it, so I wanted to put a ring on it. So we watched The Labyrinth.
We did.
We did.
We didn't mention before, since Don wasn't here, but I'd seen it before in the past and greatly enjoyed it.
And I had seen it about 10 years or so ago, but it was very late. I was probably not giving it the due and attention that I should have. So I don't really remember much, except I remember kind of walking away from the film the first time thinking, I don't get it. But I think it's possibly, like we did The Last Unicorn last time, and I think it's possibly one of those, I didn't grow up with it as a child, so, I don't have that sort of intrinsic love for it that comes with nostalgia.
And I get where you're coming from. I'd seen it as a child and all growing up, and I'd loved it so much I was worried about my integrity doing this review. So I tried very hard to watch it objectively and ask myself, is it not just am I enjoying this movie, but are there valid reasons to call this a good movie?
Yeah, and this is kind of one of those, again, sort of like The Last Unicorn, one of those movies where critics and audiences are kind of divided, which is, again, I think the perfect kind of movie to review on a show like this.
Yes.
Where the majority of folks or critics or your friends or whatever really dig on it, or they just don't get it, but for some reason audiences just love it. Mm-hmm. And, even though it's... we love Rotten Tomatoes here.
We do.
So Rotten Tomatoes has a 66% fresh rating for it, which is okay, but it's still failing.
Yes.
But audiences give this score of, like, an 86, so...
Much beloved by audiences.
Yeah, audiences love this thing. Of course, when you read the reviews and when you read what other people had to say about the movie, a lot of it seems to be based in that nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched the movie.
We did.
Keeping in mind the reasons that we were supposed to love the movie, the actual valid reasons.
Yes, the acting, the music, and the physical effects.
Okay. So let's take the easiest one first, the physical effects.
The physical effects are incredible.
I mean,
with one exception. But for the most part, their characters are very believable. I mean, it's Jim Henson. He does a great job. I thought the characters' faces moved very well. Even Hoggle, which I believe was like a remote-controlled motorized face for the expressions. It feels like she's interacting with a real character. I loved all of the practical effects, except two.
Oh, so you just said one. I was about to say,
I was going to say one, but then I realized the bubble effect when Sarah's first floating away with, Drug Peach, the bubble effect is pretty bad.
See, I was thinking, okay, so the Firebird things?
That was the other one. Horrible.
Okay, so the Firebird things is possibly the worst, most unnecessary scene in the movie.
It adds nothing whatsoever.
But for me, okay, so Jim Henson... Most modern audiences think Jim Henson and they think Muppets and they think Sesame Street.
Yes.
They think Muppets and they think Sesame Street. So they think cute monster children's puppets. But you forget that Jim Henson and his whole studio did things like The Dark Crystal and Labyrinth. And they created art.
Well, even in Labyrinth, he creates some cute monsters and stuff. But the design for the goblins...
But they're so detailed.
Oh, the scene with the hand tunnel.
Hoggle. The guy that helps her through the
But the creativity
doors.
Of the hand tunnel, just the different shapes
yes.
they use with the hands to create faces, that's incredible.
I mean, it's just hands, but the hands are so detailed, and they really do look like stone or moss-covered ivy or whatever.
And they create these little faces.
Yes.
They have real expressions. You
they're
can tell
really
the emotion.
Well done. It's very well choreographed. The big giant monster guy. I mean,
you know, all of the different monsters, the different beasts, the inhabitants of the labyrinth. Very well detailed, very well done, with the exception of one. David Bowie.
Oh, I love him.
He doesn't... Okay, so I read interviews because, I mean, I guess I was a glutton for punishment when it came to this. But I had not seen this as a kid, so I just didn't understand the appeal because I mean, the first thing that people say when they say, oh my God, you have to watch Labyrinth is...
David Bowie.
David Bowie.
He really is the first thing everyone says. It's...
David
you
Bowie.
You have to see David Bowie.
Oh my God, David Bowie. Yeah. Oh, but David Bowie. Oh, swoon. David Bowie's so dreamy. Oh, he's a glam rock sex god. Oh. Okay.
I think we need to, strip that voice from ever being included on a podcast again.
But, okay, so David Bowie. And I just remember watching this thing going, I mean, he looks like a bad, like a reject from an 80s hair band. And I get it, it's the 80s and hair bands and stuff, whatever. But to be the chief, I don't know, bad guy, the chief ruler of this very rich, physical effects-ridden world, and to have absolutely no practical effects of your own on yourself to turn you into a god. I mean, he just had glittery eyeshadow and a big wig, and that's supposed to make him a goblin king, and it just didn't
for me. But he's a goblin king. He's not a goblin.
Okay, but
he's just their ruler.
I mean, I feel like if this were done in 2015, I feel like there would be something done to the face. I mean, just even if it's subtle, but something done to the face, something done to the ear, something done to the, maybe even the body shape or something, to just augment it just enough that it's not human. I mean, it could be...
Like Maleficent, where they just sharpen angles.
They sharpen angles. I mean, if you take away the horns, there's still something that's just not human about her. You know?
I suppose I can see that argument that maybe he's a little too obviously human.
He's just a guy in a wig and eyeshadow. And for me, for it to be, oh my God, David Bowie, I mean, I get that it's just supposed to be a child of the 80s fantasy. And the thing is, when you go in and you read the interviews with him, he's talked about why why the Goblin King, Jareth, why Jareth looks the way he does, is because he's supposed to be a child of the 80s sort of rock idol.
Sort of that dangerous thing your parents didn't want you.
He's supposed to be all wrapped up.
Listen to David Bowie because, oh, that guy's kind of weird. He's kind of edgy. I think he does drugs.
So from that angle, I get it. I mean, I get that he's supposed to be, you know, an 80s rock icon. Sort of the version that Jennifer Connelly's character would idolize. A teenage girl in the 80s would idolize. So I get why he has the big hair. I get why he has the eyeshadow. I'm not knocking any of those things, but I am saying there's something... For a movie that is so rich in practical effects, I just feel like they fell just a little flat with him, where he... I mean, again, if you want to call him the king of the goblin world, the king of the labyrinth, you know, the whatever, but to call him a goblin himself, he just felt too human to me, from a practical standpoint.
I suppose I can concede that he does look very human. I always assumed it was more Goblin King as his title. Yeah. Not that he is a goblin who's a king, but that he is Goblin King, King of the Goblins.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they could have done more with that.
Again, I just feel like if this movie were to get redone today, like a Maleficent.
Yeah.
I mean, just, they didn't really, I mean, they didn't make her into this grotesque green creature or whatever, like in the cartoon. Or the animated feature film, sorry. It's not just a cartoon. It's an animated feature film, darling. But, you know, there is something a little bit more human about her, but there's just enough of an edge, just enough of something that isn't human to her, that it sets her apart from the human race.
I could agree with that, but I think in terms of actual acting performance, I think that he's charismatic enough that you don't really notice it unless you're looking for it.
Or it's like...
he's just got a presence to him.
Like the vampires in Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the enhanced eyebrows, the cheekbones, and then teeth. Mm-hmm. That's all that a vampire is there. But it's definitely not human anymore.
Yeah.
You know? No, whereas something like
the argument.
Nosferatu, Salem's Lot, that kind of thing, with the, you know, the hyper-elongated, skinny fang teeth thing and the weird, over-exaggerated features, that's a creature. But somewhere balancing that world. But as far as the rest of the practical effects in the movie... I think it's just...
I think the practical effects are incredibly well done. Again, mm-hmm. except for the bubble, and it's, you know, they just didn't have great CGI.
Oh my God,
but
the
fire
ferret things.
The fire gang, the fire cats.
I don't even know. They kept throwing
it's
the
this
head
song,
around.
Like, all of the songs in the movie, I think, for me at least, add to an overall narrative. Except this song that just comes out of nowhere, adds nothing, and is... I mean, I have to face it. I even enjoy this movie, but anytime I watch it, fast forward.
Yeah.
Okay, she's getting away from them. Okay, I'll play again.
I mean,
it's not even fun enough to really sit through.
I could see if it had been... Like, if that was not the original version of it, and it was just an extra scene that it kind of left on the cutting room floor. Mm-hmm. You know, like, in Wizard of Oz... you can, like, on most modern releases of the film, they have the jitterbug. You know, you
but
can
again,
incorporate it into the movie if you want as an extended.
Cut out.
Right, it's something. And you can see why.
Well, because it's not the best song, it's not their best work.
Right.
And it doesn't move your plot forward.
And
that was our problem with the music in Last Unicorn, is it's not adding anything.
No.
If you're not making a straight up musical where you're almost doing a recitative singing from scene to scene, the music has to have a point.
Yeah, the music has to have a point, not like America or
yeah. And that's
God,
the
that's
only
terrible.
Song that I really couldn't feel was justified in adding anything to the overall story.
So the music. Okay, so...
So since that's our next reason,
yeah.
How'd you feel about the rest of the music? Since we both agree the Fire Cat song is...
Yeah, the Fire Cat thing is just... It's gone awful. But the... I can see why children of the 80s like the music.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see this then, so I guess I don't have the attachment to it. So I guess I don't... I mean, it's fun. Dance, magic, dance, and you know, yada, yada. Lyrically, it's not a... You know, it's not a ballad... You know, it's not a storytelling song to me. Like, a lot of the songs that they have, that David Bowie sings, they aren't storytelling songs. They are not... telling you why he's doing what he's doing or where he's going to go next or why he's what made him the king. I mean, I don't really feel like the songs added anything to the narrative, but they were very fun and could be very fun to sing along to, you know, with friends sitting
well,
in front
see,
of the
I
TV.
I thought that they did add to the narrative.
How so?
Well, the dance magic dance, I always saw sort of, I mean, this is the first scene that you really see him in his palace with his goblins, and it's just sort of establishing the culture they have there. Like, it's not a serious, like, oh, we're evil goblins, we run around killing things. It's more of a lighthearted, fun, like, these are sort of silly goblins. A lot mm-hmm. of the ones that you, like, see that are adding to the music are, they're just doing sort of silly things, like dancing around, and there's chickens, and, like,
yeah,
you just sort of see this
words.
Chaos.
But the lyrics of the song, again, I just don't...
But they're just dancing, and he's singing about, like, oh, what kind of magic spell to use. It's giving off that sort of trickster vibe of, I'm not doing something blatantly evil, I'm having fun with these goblins, we're goofing around, we stole a kid. And it's sort of creating atmosphere, which
so,
I feel adds to it.
So is the music fun? Sure. The music is fun.
But some of the other songs really do add to it. Like the song In the Bubble, As the World Falls Down. You are sort of getting the story of, okay, he's kind of into her. Like, not just, oh, joking, I want to steal your kid brother. It's this... We'll get to this part. Sorry, I'm getting faces from Don. But this non-human creature has, for some reason, become attached to the girl Sarah. And you sort of see that part of his trouble now is he doesn't want her to succeed because he wants to keep her in the labyrinth. And it's just very beautifully done, and I think the scene adds a lot. It sort of shows Sarah as sort of the naive young girl going through the party, and like she doesn't quite understand what's happening. It's sort of that young girl sexual awakening theme. But I think that's well done, and the song at the end where he's singing... what is it, Within You, in the Escher room?
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, it's adding to that.
I was actually about
part
to...
Part of me is upset that, like, I want you to succeed, because there's that caring of, I want to see you do well, and I think you're good at this.
I was actually gonna...
I don't want you to succeed, because stay here with me and don't ever leave.
I was gonna actually go back for a second to that M.C. Escher sort of scene mm-hmm. towards the end. as a really great example of practical effects.
Yes.
I think for the time, I mean, if it were done today, I think it would be a little bit better done, and there would be a little bit, the editing would be a bit smoother.
Well, yeah.
And the falling, a bit.
Considering what they had to work
with. But considering what they had to work with then, I think it was pretty well done. And I mean, I think that that's sort of a hallmark of, you know, sort of that look.
But do you see my reasoning for the music? I think it creates more of the atmosphere, and maybe not in a ballad style, but it sort of shows the emotional relationship between your two lead characters.
I don't know. Because the reason is just the music. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really, oh, the music is a great... I mean, for me, sure, if the reason is the music is fun, the music is good, okay, the music, for what it is, aimed at the young audience that it is, it's singable, it's quotable, it's whatever. I mean, you know... Who, you know, you do the voodoo that you do, or whatever, you know, all that.
It's and all of the listeners are mocking the fact that you don't know the words to that song.
It's just, oh my god, it's not the greatest song ever, it's such okay? What is this? It's the baby with the power of voodoo. Hoodoo, you do.
Do what?
Something for the babe. I don't know. Whatever. That's about as good as it's gonna get. But. Oh, did I just sing Salt and Peppa earlier?
I think so.
Voodoo, the voodoo that you do so well. Hell, it's a spell. It'll make me want to shoop, shoop, shoop. There we go.
Anyway.
The labyrinth would have been so much better if Salt and Peppa had made an appearance. I mean, obviously, like, 10 years before they were popular, sure. But, oh, man, how much fun would that song have been if it was Shoop instead of Voodoo Baby or whatever? That would have been fun. I like this plan. Let's do that. Let's go back and replace all of the terrible 80s hairband music with 90s.
No. The 80s music was far better. And David Bowie, I just think, has an incredible voice. I really enjoy his work.
Okay.
We agree to disagree on David Bowie.
Okay, and here's the thing about agreeing to disagree. Acting. So I think that Jennifer Connelly's debut, valid reason. I think she's delightful in this movie.
Oh, especially with how hard it is sometimes to get a believable performance from someone in that age range. She does incredible.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it establishes her as a good actress, as somebody that was going to have a career, and she did. She still does. Mm-hmm. Great. Academy Award winner.
The transition very well from sort of the whiny young kid at the beginning.
Yep.
She matures well. I think that's portrayed beautifully in the movie.
I don't know about beautifully, but that's writing thing.
I found it very
not...
believable that she's, you know, she's changed a little, grown up.
I think Jennifer Connelly acted well. I think the story,
well,
the actual
the
plot,
could
yeah,
better.
could have been quite a bit better. But as far as a debut acting, an acting debut from Jennifer Connelly, I absolutely think that she definitely earned the career that she now has based on her performance in that movie.
I think the other actors are great. Even the little side characters...
Oh,
are
the,
so
the
engaging
voice actors
that I want to know more about them. The Doors with, like, the two heads and one tells the truth, one lies. I would love to know more about them.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that's kind of, I don't know, that's where the movie, sort of like The Last Unicorn, that's where I think that this movie didn't quite get the grade from me overall, is that there were so many other interesting things happening in the movie that we just didn't either revisit later on or get to know more about. I mean, because they spent so much time crafting these beautiful characters that are there for 10 seconds, you know? And I don't know, I could have used more time with some of these people and cut out some of the superfluous stuff. Like, if you could take out Fire Cats
and add more of all of the
and
side
give
characters.
Me add give me other things, that's fine. The little pirate rat guy. I could use more pirate rat.
Sir Didymus.
Sure.
And I think he's a fox.
Okay. Well, whatever. Maybe that wasn't the best puppet. Maybe he wasn't the best puppet.
But I do think the acting is incredibly well. I mean, the character of Hoggle again. You know, we've talked about special effects, but just the acting... It does feel like she's interacting with another character and not,
well, it's,
oh, I'm talking to this puppet, I'm pretending like I'm talking to this puppet.
It's good that Jennifer Connelly is good.
Yes.
Because she's the only good humanoid person in the movie.
You didn't like Hoggle?
again, he's a puppet. We're talking about the actual actors here.
You said humanoid, and he's...
Well, but, I mean, okay, so he's... I'm using humanoid because I'm lumping in David Bowie in this.
I think David Bowie does a good job.
He is stiff as cardboard. He has the same look on his face the whole time. Here's the thing. I guess I'm just not a David Bowie fanboy, because he's there being David Bowie. He's not there portraying the character of Jareth. He's portraying this 80s glam rock god that he was at the time. He's David Bowie being David Bowie.
I think he is also being Jareth, though.
I don't think there's enough of an evolution to say that Jareth is his own character. I think they wrote a movie to get David Bowie to be in it.
I think he's enough of his own character.
Okay.
It's the...
I mean, like, the parents are awful in the beginning.
Well, yeah, they're terrible.
And that baby...
The dad's like, oh, you're crying locked in your room. We're gonna go now.
That baby deserved it. That baby deserved every single last one of it. I blame the whole thing on this terrible baby. Whose movie is actually about to come out.
I'm excited to see his, actually.
Yeah, the baby in Labyrinth was actually Jim Henson's son. What's his name?
No.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Oh, it's Brian Froud's son.
There you go.
Oh, Brian and, what's his wife's name?
Wendy?
Yes, Brian and Wendy Froud. The people that,
helped design a lot of the goblins.
Yeah, a lot of the reason that Jim Henson has such that sort of creative, very detailed look is because Brian Froud, designed the characters. They did the sketches first, mm-hmm. and Jim the Henson production company created the puppets around those designs. He was really responsible for, like, the Dark Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, the Froud Jr. has a movie coming up.
Which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it's it's supposed to be something like who's that author who's terrible?
That narrows it down. Nicholas Sparks? Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
No. Oh, not like The King in Yellow, but he created Cthulhu. And all that stuff.
H.P. Lovecraft?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like an H.P. Lovecraft thing. That's the Froud. Yes. You know that writer that's terrible?
H.P. Lovecraft is amazing.
Okay.
Do not even start with me.
That's fine.
We are not discussing Lovecraft because he's great.
Or something. He's something.
He's great.
Okay. So.
But no, I think David Bowie does a great job of being the character. He's sort of this weird trickster that just sort of does what he wants and has this kingdom full of these weird goblins that you're not quite sure how he got the job or what qualified him, or, like, was he an elf from another kingdom?
I think he's just the tallest one.
Maybe.
I could have used, again, like a lot of children's movies these days, or really a lot of sci-fi movies, will give you sort of the obligatory 5 minutes in the beginning of narrative. How the bad guy came to power.
See, but I have to admit, I kind of like not knowing.
And he's just...
Because there's just this mystery of, where did this guy come from?
But the problem is there's not an... I mean, there's a lot of flash and not enough substance. But for a kid's movie, I think it's okay.
And I think that it's good.
But I don't think it makes it great.
Because he's got that charisma and just sort of that weird quality that you can see why Sarah's sort of... drawn in, but
okay, see, okay, there's the other thing. So let me talk about this for a second. This guy
has had a lot of discussion on
24
this.
Years older than Jennifer Connelly.
Yes.
This man was like 40 something when this movie came out, and she was a baby. She was a baby. A child, a minor child, and
she's
they what, have
14
her,
or 15?
Something like that, and he's like 40 in this movie. The guy, it's just, and then, like, they have him fall in love with her, and she falls in love with him, and it's romantic.
He's okay. The Goblin King.
So here's why he needed to not look like a human. So let's go back to the beginning, and let's talk to the reason I needed him not to just look like David Bowie in David Bowie 80s drag would be because then I could separate it out from... It's this 45-year-old aging glam rock star.
But that's why they don't have them sharing, like, a kiss on screen or something, because they know, like,
he's singing love songs to her. I mean, like, they are...
It's similar to, like when you watch... And this is a terrible comparison, but it's similar to if you were watching, like, Interview with a Vampire or Twilight. These are characters that are supposed to be beyond time. Where they don't age.
Okay,
or if they,
they
do,
got
they age
actors
in increments
were,
of, like, hundreds of years.
But they did get actors that were, like, the same age, so it's not as... sure, he's 500 years old, but he's 20 and so is she. Like, but they didn't get...
They are trying to portray that feeling, though.
But okay, but then you go to another children's movie that also has a similar thing.
But the director understood that you don't want to see any, like, physical relationship develop because in real life you do know.
Well, because that would be a crime. That would be a crime.
I'm just saying.
But, I mean, again, so you take it to another, you know, kids' movie around the same area, Beauty and the Beast. It's animated, sure, but the guy is the beast. Again, there's no kissing, there's no anything. But he, I mean, it takes it out of being a human. Like, falling in love with the human that's too old for you. Now, I think Prince Adam was, like, 19 and she's, like, 16, so that wouldn't be a thing. But, okay, again, he just...
If they had been animated, like, animated characters, he would have thought it was fine.
If he had been animated, he would not have just looked like David Bowie in 80s drag. He would have looked like a goblin. They would have elongated the ears. They would have made crazy hair. They would have, given pronounced eyebrows.
But
something.
You're not against the idea. You're just against the fact that the actors who are portraying it are certain ages.
And they didn't do anything whatsoever to make him at least not look human. And it just bothers me. I'm not going to like harp on it or anything, but it does bother me.
David Bowie was not molesting Jennifer Connelly. They share like one polite waltz in the bubble dream sequence.
Oh no, that waltz is a pretty intense waltz.
They dance and had eye contact.
There was something in that eye contact. That's all I'm saying.
It was incredibly innocent in the way that children's fantasy movies can be. He sang and waltzed with her. There was no lewd or untoward behavior.
I just think that having the Goblin King fall in love with her was a plot point that either should have required him looking more like a goblin or not have happened.
I just disagree on this.
That's fine. Right. It's okay. And here's the thing. Again, if it had been an animated movie, if he had looked more like a goblin, I would have attributed it to classic folktale, classic fairy tale, where the ageless...
But it's the same thing.
But again, you create this beautiful physical effect world and you do nothing to David Bowie. You put him in 80s rock drag and you don't make him look like an otherworldly creature. If he had looked like an otherworldly creature,
floating glass orbs. That was cool and mystical.
He didn't even do that. They had a hand model come in and jiggle his balls for him. He jiggled the little... And the strings did it. In the really cool scene where the little balls float, the strings did it.
Well, yeah, because you can't actually float those.
Maybe you can't.
Oh, whatever. All right, so agreeing to disagree on that. Overall, as somebody who didn't really care for it at first, going back, do you think it was justified with the three categories overall, and what would your opinion of it be?
Physical effects, I think for what it was, for the time, for all of that, I think it mostly holds up. I think it's a really enjoyable-looking film.
Yes, I will agree with that.
I think...
Valid reason.
The music for me, I found, the music and the acting for me, really the music and stuff, you ever see the movie Napoleon Dynamite?
Unfortunately.
Okay, so I hated that movie the first time.
I hated it the only time I saw it.
I love Napoleon Dynamite, but you know why Napoleon Dynamite is fun? You know why people like Napoleon Dynamite?
They don't.
They do.
It's terrible.
It's wonderful.
It's horrible.
But it's wonderful.
Please no one send that in as a recommendation.
Napoleon Dynamite is an enjoyable film because of how quotable it is and the shared cultural experience of getting to sit with your friends and quote it at each other and tell each other the jokes.
I have a better quality of friends.
Oh. You know, you're my friend, right?
I am, and I'm elevating you.
Ouch. Burn. Guys, I will be right back. I need some aloe for this burn. Also, all of my friends that are not Kate are apparently troglodytes now. Well,
the ones who watch and enjoy Napoleon Dynamite, yes.
Sorry, college friends. Apparently you're all imbeciles. So, I liken this music to something like a Napoleon Dynamite. It doesn't drive the plot. It's not narrative. It doesn't add to the story. But I could see why people enjoy it. I really can. It's quotable. It's fun. It's light. It's got a good beat. You know, it's I don't know. It's kind of funny. Like, it's funny and awkward, and it makes you want to say the words to each other again. You know, the babe with the power of voodoo, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's funny. It's quotable. It's a callback. It makes people want to say it to one another over and over again. So in that regard, I think the music is fun.
I'll disagree with you. I think it does help with the plot. I would call it a valid reason.
And here's the thing. If somebody had written in and said, it's a great musical, then I would say reason invalid. But just the music is fun, or I liked the music, or the music is especially good, I guess I compare it to another 80s children's movie that we've already done, Last Unicorn. That music was awful, and it added nothing to the plot. This music doesn't add anything to the plot for me, but it's fun and enjoyable, and I don't think it takes away from the plot. Whereas The Last Unicorn, it does seem to take away from the pacing and the plot, because it's just a filler for a montage that didn't need to happen, because they were trying to make an hour and a half movie, and they had 30 minutes of footage.
All right, so you'll call it valid reason, but for different reasons?
Sure. I mean, okay. I think it's, you know, halfway there. I think the music is good. It's not, I don't think it's integral to the plot in any way, but I think it's fine. The acting. Jennifer Connelly is good. There is not one other human actor in that movie that I liked.
I will say that I think Jennifer Connelly and David Bowie did good. I think the parents were not great choices for the acting.
And I hear you all gathering your weapons and lighting torches and grabbing pitchforks and getting ready to come hunt me down and sacrifice me at your little 80s makeup table altar
with
pictures of David Bowie. And lots of glitter. Sacrificing me on the glitter altar for daring to besmirch the name of David Bowie. But I think it's one of those things, you had to be there. You had to be a child of the 80s, growing up, seeing it for the first time, being surrounded in that culture of 80s hair bands and loving it. It's just not my thing. So I don't know. I mean, again, I can't necessarily say, that's why I can't fault the music. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun, it's whatever. Well, but as far as the acting goes, I just think David Bowie is just being David Bowie. I don't think he's creating a character. I think they wrote it around him. They sort of just said, you know what? We're going to get millions of young girls to come in here because David Bowie's in this movie. And we're just, you know what? David, what do you want to wear? What do you think this should look like? We'll just let David Bowie just do his thing and get out of his way. And I think that's just kind of what they did. I don't think they gave it enough thought around that particular character, who should have been more. He should have been a little bit more menacing, a little bit less human. And I think I think if it were done today, they would get somebody who is maybe an actual actor and not a glam rock pop star.
He's done a lot of acting.
Okay. In this role, they said, hey, David, you're a rock star, right? Can you just be you in this movie? And that's kind of what he said in those interviews, like I referenced earlier. He just said, you know what? This is supposed to be, in my eyes, an 80s rock pop, you know, what she would imagine.
Well, and then you can't really blame him if they're saying, we want you to just be you.
Yeah. That's where I find fault in the movie. But okay, so overall, I don't hate the movie. Do I think that the reasons are valid? Do I think it's a great movie? You know, I think it's a better movie than I thought it was. I mean, I wouldn't give it a failing grade. I'd say it's a C. I'd recast David Bowie.
We can't be friends.
I would recast David Bowie and give him better physical effects makeup. I would get a better makeup team in there and recast David Bowie, take out the fire cat scene. And that's a solid B+, which I think is about as good as you can do for an 80s movie.
I'll say that I also feel like the reasons were valid. I wouldn't say that this is the greatest movie, but I do think it is a good movie. I would rate it in the solid, like, B+, A- category.
Okay.
I don't think it's one of the greatest films of all time, but I really enjoy the acting. I enjoy the music.
But now I
think it's a well-done, like, fun 80s spin on that fairy tale mythology sort of world. And even going back, trying to watch it with fresh eyes, even though I did love it as a child, you can see a few more of the flaws going back. Like, oh, you know, that special effect with the bubble, not great. The fire cats, wow, what were they thinking? That doesn't really go with anything. But overall, I think it does hold up remarkably well. You know, I would definitely recommend this to other people.
Yeah, I think seeing it as an adult, you get an appreciation maybe for why the music is fun. You understand it a little bit more in context and all of that. And I think, you know, knowing all of my friends love this movie, if they all wanted to put it on, I would be able to indulge in the silliness of it.
So I know what we're doing at our next book club.
Nope, not happening. So if you guys want to send in your guilty pleasures,
whether it's books, movies, or music, feel free.
Yep. Email us, reasonscast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on the web, bit.ly/reasonscast. You can like our Facebook page. Please like our Facebook page. We are very proud of our Facebook page.
We do post some pretty hilarious stuff on our Facebook
page. We have been posting videos. We have been posting pictures and previews and getting questions asked and answered on there. So that's facebook.com/becausereasonspodcast. Where else? Oh, Twitter.
One of your personal favorites.
Trying to get Kate to use Twitter.
I'm trying. I'm not as media savvy as Don here.
And Twitter is also @ReasonsCast. So tweet us, like our Facebook page, subscribe to the show. It's really easy to subscribe through iTunes, and we have a direct link for that as well. It's bit.ly/BRCiTunes. And all the links for this are on both the website and the Facebook page. So if you can't remember any of them, just head to either one of those and it'll link you to everything else. If you have an Android, like if you're not an Apple subscriber, because it's really easy to use the Apple Podcasts app and all of that. If you have an Android phone or a Windows device or something like that, if you'll go to the website, bit.ly/reasonscast, there's little links for you if you have an Android or something else to either download the app for the show or to add it to your podcatcher of choice. So please send in those emails. It's almost October, so we will actually be needing some submissions.
Yes, again, it's reasonscast@gmail.com. Anytime that you have a guilty pleasure you want us to review, or if you just have feedback about the show, something that you think, hey guys, you know, just wanted to drop you a line, maybe fix this, I don't like the sound quality, or I think Don is wrong more often than he's right, and he should listen to Kate more. You know, anything that you want to include, feel free to send us an email. But especially if you want to submit something for us to review, remember to submit the title, you know, the author if it's a book, or the artist if it's a CD, and also the main reasons that you want us to examine for why you think it's valid.
And why it's up for redemption. But we actually do have a specific submission request for you right now. So it's almost October. We actually already have the next episode recorded and in the bag.
Yes.
Which means that the next episode that we put, the next episode that we record is going to be our Halloween episode.
Which means we want your holiday goodies.
So we're going to do a Halloween megasode with as many guilty pleasures as we can get. So if there's a favorite kind of kitschy Halloween song that you like that isn't so well known or is kind of ragged on. If there are any Halloween movies that you love, are you a big fan of Disney Halloween movies like I am?
Or do you love really chilling psychological thriller horror movies like I do? Because I'd really love a good excuse to make Don watch some horrifying, horrifying movies for Halloween.
And I would really, really love the opportunity to torture Kate with sweet and fun and charming my version of Halloween.
The scary version is so much better.
So send those in, reasonscast@gmail.com. We cannot wait to hear from you. Tell your friends. Thank you guys so much. We're up to over 200 likes on Facebook. And our subscriber numbers are going up every week. So thank you guys so much for downloading the show, for streaming the show, for sharing the show with your friends. But to keep this show from going too terribly long, we're going to leave you. And Kate and I
are going to dance magic dance on out of here.
We're going to dance magic dance on out of here back to the non-copyrighted Gabyrinth. So until next time, make sure that your favorite guilty pleasures are not
worthless trash.